Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Cole Petum here as always, and of course we're here to talk all things Aston Villa Football Club with a 4-1 loss at the Etihad to Manchester City on Wednesday evening. Of course you'll be hearing this on the Thursday, so hopefully you're having a much brighter Thursday than you were probably a Wednesday evening if you're a Villa fan and listening to this. We're going to make this a quick pod. I know a lot of people are going to move on quickly from this game, so we'll touch on the City result. We'll move ever so quickly on to Brentford on the weekend and just really talk all things Villa for the next 20-odd minutes or so. Regardless of that, it's not just me. Of course, I do have the returning Simon O'Regan to spread some of his much-needed wisdom over the next several minutes. So, Simon, how's it going for you, my friend?
Yeah, not too bad. Obviously, disappointing results, but it's hard. Well, for me, and I think most sort of rational, level-headed fans, which there are a lot of, but just not, unfortunately, on social media. It's hard. I find it hard to be like particularly angry or tonight. It's obviously disappointing, and you never want to lose a game. But, I mean, Man City away with a full-strength team is a hard enough game. When you're missing seven first-team players, it's really, 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 really tough. Borderline impossible. And, yeah, the real frustration, I'm sure we'll get onto it, was the second goal on the stroke of half-time. Like, being brutally honest, I still think we end up losing that game anyway, even if you go in at halftime 1-1. But you never know. You'd be giving yourself a chance. And, as I kind of just said, it's already a hard game. The last thing you need to do is gift such a soft goal at such a crucial point in the game as well. I didn't expect anything from tonight. I don't think the scoreline was a 4-1 makes it sound like it was more of a battering than it actually was for me anyway. But it is what it is, and we move on.
Exactly. And I feel like that's how a lot of us felt even heading into the reverse fixture earlier in the season, of course, with Arsenal right after that. And we didn't expect either of those to be wins, and they were. So I think there was probably a little bit of initial optimism. I think a lot of people that, if you're on Twitter or Facebook, you might have seen the leaks that, of course, De Bruyne and Haaland weren't starting for City. Of course, as a Villa fan, you're thinking very confident thoughts. And then you see, of course, it turned out to be later on that Robin Olsen was starting for the ill Emi Martinez. Of course, no Leon Bailey starting, no Pau Torres starting. The list goes on and on. Of course, a lot of kind of, I wouldn't say a makeshift 11, but when you add in all the injuries, those actually on the bench that typically would start, it's, you would say, your secondary or even third starting 11, you could say, kind of chop and changing in there. And of course, Villa did put a good effort in today. I think, again, you are right, Simon, in saying that 4-1 flatters City massively. Of course, Phil Foden put all of his goals to bed very, very well. He's a generational talent. Fair enough. Villa could have defended a lot of these better. It is what it is. But if you're looking at it positively from the Villa perspective, of course, John Duran getting on the scoreboard, Morgan Rogers, I think, getting his first Villa assist, if I'm thinking correctly. So that's massive there. Big Tim, of course, starting his first game for Villa. I think, was that ever, Simon, I think, if I'm thinking correctly, in the Premier League?
I think so. He may have started the game under Gerrard. I've got a feeling he started against Norwich.
Maybe it's under Unai then. I can't remember the exact.
Yeah,
stat,
it would definitely be his first start under Emery. Yeah.
Yeah. So, definitely, yeah. I mean, you throw those three youngsters into that kind of cauldron of pressure, and it's I don't want to call it a lackluster side, but it's not the same as a fully strength Villa side. Thought they all did very well. They had good moments. The one thing I do want to start with, I mean, fair credit, full credit, a world of applause to Robin Olsen. I mean, we have given him stick on this podcast some more times to count and written him off so many more times than that. And he made a number of incredible, much needed saves. Didn't have a chance, in my opinion, on any of the four goals. And really, I know, again, you can look at the score line, Simon, and say 4-1. What are you talking about? That's not a close game. I mean, he was a rock at the back, and that's not even putting it lightly. But what did you make of his performance in particular?
I thought I agree. I thought he actually played really well. I mean, like you said, we've given him a lot of stick on this podcast, and you know myself in particular, because I don't particularly rate him. You know, his body of work at Villa hasn't been that impressive, and sort of when I saw the starting lineup tonight when he first went out when Martinez was in the lineup. I was sort of looking at the team thinking, oh, bloody, I'm not sure about that. And then when I saw that, obviously Martinez dropped out and Olsen was in, I kind of thought, okay, this is going to be like 4-5. I mean, it did in the end turn out to be four, but that wasn't anything to do with Olsen at all. I should say, I don't think there's anything he could have done about the goals. The second and third, especially, you know, he was really let down by the outfield players, with sort of the wall, which I'm sure we'll discuss, and you know, giving the ball away cheaply, and he made some really good saves as well, actually, especially in the first half. You know, he made I think it was a couple from Alvarez in particular, really good saves when I think we just sort of got it back to 1-1. So at that time. When it's still 1-1, and you get into half time, and you're thinking, right, he's made some crucial saves to sort of keep us in and going at the break level. So when that free kick went in, I felt really sorry for him, because straight away you can see he's turning to the wall, and he's like, "What the fuck, you know, have you done, lads?" Like, because he's completely knackered him, and because when I first saw it initially, I kind of. And maybe this is my own fault because I've not been a fan of Olsen. I just defaulted to like, you know, he doesn't really move at all. And when I first saw it, I kind of thought, God, how's he got done there? But then when you see the replay, like, there's nothing he can do. And but then even in the second half, there was a couple of times I thought he did really well. I think there was it might be like really late towards the end of the game where. I think it's Alvarez again, sort of gone through and looked like he'd sort of maybe taken it round him a bit. And then he got the shot away and also got back and made a really good stop and held on to it as well. Like, really well. Yeah, I actually thought he had a good game, but his distribution was pretty decent as well. And if that's his last game for Villa, which I suspect it probably will be, whilst the score line isn't great, I actually thought he put in. A good performance, and it'll be an interesting bookend, because his first Villa game was at the Etihad when we were 2-0 up and lost 3-2 for under Gerrard and for City to win the league on the last day. So yeah, started and ended his career probably at the Etihad on the wrong end of the results.
Yeah, and to be fair, I don't know how many people have started and ended their, I guess, playing career at one club at the Etihad. So if that's some kind of glimpse of success that he wants to put in the kind of highlights of his career, then I mean, fair dues. Of course, I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible and he doesn't sign back up with Villa, but I'd be very, very shocked if that was the case. But all in all, again, a good performance. You can't blame it. And it was good to see. And I mean, again, you can go on social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and you'll see some people saying he was terrible. Those people, in my opinion, did not watch the game. He made a, I think it was the first big stop he made. It was very Emi Martinez-esque with his, I think it was his right foot, just the way he stuck it out. And that just made me feel good. And to be fair, and I know a lot of people might kind of sit back on this ne next comment that I put out and say, well, he's a professional goalkeeper, it's expected. But to come into the game at the last minute with Emi Martinez bowing out, looks like right before warm-ups or near the end of warm-ups. I'm not sure if he was actually out. Couldn't see the footage on that one. It's not always easy to get into that kind of mental area, I guess you could say, to get against, of course, the reigning champions, the reigning treble winners. Definitely not. So I think he deserves a lot of credit there. Now, let's talk about the wall for just a moment and Nicolò Zaniolo. I completely forgot when me and Tom did our last podcast over. Of course, it came out on Monday. So if you want to go back and listen to a Villa win against Wolves, go and do that. You might be a little bit happier than listening to this one. I mean, listen to this first and go back. Of course, that's how you should do it if you're a correct individual. But when you sit back and you look at his performance against Wolves, I thought he was very impactful when he came on, played with a lot of purpose, of course, was a major reason for the second goal. I thought he was actually decent today in spells. But again, that moment in the wall, jumping away from the wall, twisting his body, it's not going to help his case staying at Villa at all, is it? Especially with the fan base.
Yeah, I mean, it's so frustrating because I mean I think you and I did the podcast after the West Ham game.
Yes.
When obviously he came on and got the equaliser, and we were sort of talking about how his time at Villa's gone, and like you said, then it's the same now. It's frustrating because you can see there's a talented player there, and then you look at those last two games. When he's come on against West Ham, come on against Wolves, and made, a huge contribution to both of those games, and then, like you say, gets his start, has had a decent first half up until then. You're thinking, right, maybe it's starting to turn, and then, like with that second goal, it's obviously not very good at all. Like it's not great. What I would say is that I wouldn't go like overly harsh, over the top on him. Like it's not acceptable, and you definitely do not want to see any of your players doing that. But that's the type of thing you do see that pretty much every single week. Like players do that. They shouldn't, but they do. So whilst it's disappointing, and you definitely wouldn't want him to do it again. Like it's, I don't think that you can look at that, and blame him entirely for the results. People will, like, because that's just the nature of social media, especially. And you're right, it doesn't do him any favors when you think he's kind of already, not necessarily everyone's cup of tea. But it's a weird one because I think everyone knows he's not going to be at Villa next season. Like it's not going to happen, is it? So you could say, is there an argument to, just not bother using him between now and the rest of the season? And I've kind of said that myself. But then you look at the last two games and you kind of think, oh, well, okay, like he's actually has made an impact, and with the way that our players seem to be dropping like flies as well. We're going to have to, we're going to need him, and if he's all you've got a player there who the fans know, the manager knows, and he knows isn't going to be at the club next season. But we are. There'll be times over the next seven Premier League games, and next two, hopefully the next five Conference League games, where we're going to need him to turn up. And if he's getting shitloads of abuse, on social media, he's going to be thinking, well, you wouldn't blame him for thinking, why am I, fuck these lot. They, like, do you know what the point I'm trying to make? Like, you don't accept that, but you can't, this it'll be stupid to go absolutely crazy on him for this.
Well, that's what I mean. There's so m like many minutes to be played, even with what I think there's eight games in the league left, if I'm thinking correctly, or seven. I can't remember.
Seven now.
Seven now. Of course, we still have at least nine in total, I guess, if you count the Conference League. could obviously be more. What, let's hope it is. But he's
Yeah.
going to play because, I mean, what, Brentford, then Lille midweek, then Arsenal next weekend, then Lille again. It's going to be relentless for the rest of the season, depending especially how far Villa get. If they get to the semifinals, it makes it even busier. The final, you look at all the added distractions kind of with that too. So there's lots to play for. We're still playing for top four. We're playing for everything you could really wish aside from still being in the FA Cup at this point in the season. So he's going to play. You are correct. And it is one of those things. And I kind of wonder with some players, I mean, you look at all the kind of betting issues that were lobbied against him earlier on in the season, how much that impacted it, impacted him coming to a new country, a new language, how long that's really taken him to kind of fully embed in. It feels like we're starting just now to see the best of him. Of course, then there comes a moment of whoa, and then everyone jumps back on that. I mean,
Yeah.
maybe this is sitting on the fence, Simon, but I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, give him a few more games and then fully kind of see where he's at. Because I honestly, I truly believe we're just starting to see good moments of him. And let's not forget, he's come up clutch twice for us already. You look at the Sheffield United draw, you look at the West Ham one as well. I mean, without those 2 points, we're tied with Spurs. We're in fifth because of goal difference as well. So put that into context too, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I saw some quotes from Emery after the Wolves game where, like talking about Zaniolo, where he was saying that the his, sort of his period of adaptation has taken longer than they expected, but and I think he kind of alluded to, the issues obviously that they had when he first came with the, the betting charges and sort of what that was about. And Emery was kind of saying the other day, we're now starting to see sort of more of the player that they sort of thought was coming in. And it goes back to the point as well. We sort of raised this before when discussing like Leon Bailey and what's changed with him. It takes players, it can take players coming, foreign players coming to a new league. Can take anything from 6 months to a year to adapt. And when you've got, in this specific case, you've got a player who has had two serious ACL injuries. He had this sort of betting thing where, he didn't do anything wrong, but he was named in the thing at the same time as Tonali, who obviously has been up to no good and got a huge ban. So you're getting, and I think there's a player in Juventus as well who also got a ban at the same time as Tonali. So he's been mentioned in the same sort of incident or issue as them guys, but he hadn't actually done anything wrong. But just mud sticks, doesn't it? And there's no smoke without fire. That people sort of have that attitude. So kind of you put all those things together, then it's no wonder maybe it's taken a bit longer to adapt. And yeah, as I say, it's just kind of a funny one because I'd be very surprised if we ended up signing him, but there is some sort of clause in that loan. I don't know if it's an option to buy or if it's an obligation after certain games. No one really knows exactly what it is. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that we would sign in the summer. I can't see it happening myself, but you never know. Like you say, you've got at least nine more games in all competitions this season, possibly more. If he can get a little run together and come up trumps for us in this last little run, fans have short memories, don't they? If he ends up scoring a winning goal in the Conference League final, which I believe he did for Roma in a couple of years ago, he'll be the hero for everyone, won't he? So it'll be interesting to see sort of how the rest of his Villa career this season goes, really.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Again, it's one of those things where I think everyone really just, well, to be completely blunt, people online need to stop being absolute idiots.
Yeah,
and just wait and see. And I get to a sense of being a little bit overreactionary at times, not in an implicit way or very extremely negative and harmful way to others. I mean, keep it to yourself. Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at. But it's just, I don't know. Again, it feels like he could score 20 goals for the rest of the season and someone would still call him crap. Obviously, if he scores 20 goals for the rest of the season, we are at least fourth and we have won the Conference League. Again, if that does happen, I'm more than welcome it. But moving on swiftly, of course, just to kind of get to a bit of Unai Emery news. Of course, he did come out post-match and just say, of course, Emi Martinez did have an illness, expects him to be back against Brentford. Ollie Watkins will be assessed again on Thursday and most likely, of course, on Friday up until the weekend. So we'll have to wait and see how that one goes. I mean, Simon, in a very weird way, if there's any time for Ollie Watkins to be injured, is it probably in a weird way at this moment maybe the best time if it's not a major issue and he just needs a little bit of time? Because ahead of Lille, we still have a week. And if it's only minor and they're doing kind of more of a precautionary thing, I mean, even now McGinn, of course, is going to be coming back for the Conference League and for the Premier League. He's had three games off, so you'd expect him to come out just kind of running and gunning it. This all might be actually well-timed in a very weird way, won't it be?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the fixtures and the way they fall and you sort of think, okay, well, Man City away, you're probably not gonna get something there. So it's not a bad game to miss. But then at the same time, part of me thinks, had we had a full strength team available, I think we could have got something there tonight, because I don't think that Man City, even though the scoreline suggests they were, I don't think they were at their absolute best tonight. They had Phil Foden absolutely on fire and a couple of mistakes from us. So you can look at it and go, well, it's a tough game. So if you're going to have players missing for a game, that's not a bad one. So, but I really do think that had we had a full strength, or as quite, pretty much full strength team available, that we could we'd have had a pretty decent chance of going there and get something tonight. Like, what were your thoughts and how do you feel about actually that team selection when you saw Torres, Tielemans and Bailey on the bench? Like, the only thing that I could think of was what you said in the group chats before the game, that maybe, like, it's not only Emi Martinez that has been ill, like, because I've seen like a lot of comments say, sort of criticizing Emi a bit for throwing this game. I cannot believe for one second that Emery's looked at this and thought, oh, fuck it, let's just chuck a couple of youngsters out and throw this game. So like, he wouldn't do that, because at no stage this season have in the Premier League game has he put a team like that out and, left all the sort of regular first team starters on the bench. You could have looked at when we had Man City and Arsenal in the space of 4 days. You may have you that home game against Man City, that's the game you probably think, oh, let's throw this one because we've probably got more of a chance of beating Arsenal on the weekend. Like, Emery's not that type of manager to do that, so surely there must have been I don't know. There must be reasons of that aren't. He just thought, we're probably going to lose. Let's just chuck this one.
Yeah, I think there was actually a quote that he came out with, or at least a couple. The one that I could find, he just said, we did changes because we needed to. We had injured players and we had to give players confidence playing and practicing. We will play a lot of matches in the next few weeks. It was very important to be intelligent. And I mean, again, I don't know. Does that mean Leon Bailey, Torres, et cetera, were a little ill as well? Does that mean that Torres maybe had a little bit of a niggle because, of course, he was injured before and they're just kind of maintaining it?
That one makes sense for me because
now that I sit back and look at it, and I feel like, again, this is just me spitballing it. If that game is 1-1 or even 2-1, I would say, kind of going past, say, the 70th minute, I think he's been caught Torres on. And I think a lot of those were. Again, I think they were getting, what, Chambers, Tielemans, and Bailey ready right before the third goal, if I'm correct?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guarantee if he was 3-1, I don't even know if Leon Bailey comes on, for example.
Yeah.
So, I think it was just kind of managing minutes. I don't think there's a lot of things to read into it. And again, if we're going into this game, I mean, City rested players as well. I mean, they still have a ridiculous squad.
Yeah.
But it's that kind of time of the season as well that I think you have to give player minutes for confidence purposes. And again, I look at someone like Morgan Rogers and I think he deserves it. So I don't honestly look at any of those players barring, and again, maybe this is mean after I say keep it to yourself in terms of comments, but barring probably Callum Chambers, I think anyone else probably warrants getting a few minutes because most of them have a future at Villa or would probably make more of an impact on the squad. And again, I don't mean that in a very harmful way against them, but let's be honest, he does not have a Villa future beyond this season. And it's been evident for over a year now, or at least since Unai Emery really came in. You sit back and you look at that and then you think, okay, well, why didn't player X, Y, or Z play as well? It just happens. Like, I think at this point in the season, and it's the same question that Unai Emery has been asked and mentioned throughout the whole season, wait till game like 33 or 34, and he'll say that if we're in that spot, okay, yes, we can get the Champions League. That'll be a goal. And I think at this point, it's almost, I don't think he was going, oh, let's bend this off. But at the same time, I think he goes, we kind of have to pick and choose our fights a little bit. If we get something out of this, it's a bonus. We could have.
Yeah.
We just didn't take the moments. It's not like we had one goal off one shot and that was it. I mean, Ortega made a couple decent saves as well. I think one off Longley. There was another one previously as well. I can't remember who took that on. Zaniola had a shot blocked, of course, when we were, I think, on like a 3-on-2 or something like that. So, again, it's just one team taking their moments better. Could have been a lot different. I don't really read a lot into it. It's a free hit. I know everyone goes on about goal difference, but Spurs are going to concede more as well. I'm not even going to bring up United because that's just going to be a love fest for any major news outlet. But we kind of sit there and I think we move on because, like, I mean, I'm interested to get this, get your opinion on this one, Simon, heading into Brentford before we wrap things up because I don't want to make this too long for everyone after I said we'd make it 20 odd minutes because welcome to the Holtcast. We're never the timeline we say so. I'm just looking at Brentford's recent results and basically since losing 4-2 to West Ham on February 26th, they had a 2-2 draw against Chelsea, barely lost to Arsenal 2-1. They lost to Burnley 2-1, so you could put that one as kind of the major one to stand out. Of course, somehow only drew 1-1 to United. I still don't understand that. And of course, a good 0-0 result for them against Brighton last weekend. So they're coming up against a bit of form. They're not going to go down. They're like 6 points clear, and there's so many teams poorer than them. That's at least my opinion. But again, now they have Neil Mopai. You look at Ivan Toney. I'm trying to think who else they just had coming back from injuries. I can picture his face. Save me, Simon. Who am I thinking of? Oh, my.
Mbeumo.
Mbeumo, thank you. I literally can picture that. He's a magnificent beard, I will say that. If anyone really wants any insight on that. But you look at those three in particular, they have a lot of attacking intent. You can throw Wissa in there as well. They're a very good side. They shouldn't be where they are. They've had some massive unluckiness with injuries, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to be a tough game, isn't it?
It is, but I expect us to win with a reasonable level of comfort. And by that, I mean like that we'll go and smash them or anything. But I expect I don't know. Like Brentford are, you're right. They have been really really unlucky with injuries this year. I mean, I know. Yeah, everyone kind of has injuries, and there's a number of teams this year that have had big ones. But when you're like a mid-table team, injuries to key players as well really, really affects you. So they've kind of played reasonably well most of the time I've seen them in games this season. But they, for the attacking talent, it's really only Tony and Mbeumo that I think are like of a really, really, really like high Premier League standard. I think this is a decent enough player, but I think mid-table is his level. Neil Mopay is, I mean, he's just a little shit. Like he's just a winder merchant. But I think where they are suffering this season is defensively. They're not great. But also, the goalkeeper, you know, David Raya is a really, really good goalkeeper. Well, I think he's, you know, I really rate Raya. And obviously, they've lost him and it's John Flecken in goal. So I'm kind of not too surprised to see them where they are in the table, if I'm being honest. I think, yeah, it will be a tough game in the sense that the majority of games in the Premier League are tough games. But at home, I fancy us against like pretty much anyone really in the league. And it's a strange one. This is to sort of work out how it would be. You don't know exactly what team that we'll have out either. That's the thing. Like, will Watkins be fit for it? Who knows? But then, you know, Duran obviously got his goal tonight, so you've got that threat there. McGinn coming back is a big thing. And if you're assuming that, you know, Martinez, Torres, Tielemans and Bailey will all be, you know, absolutely fine and ready to go on the weekends, then you'll have a completely different sort of expectation outlook of how you expect the game to go. I'm expecting this to win. And to be fair as well, my niece is coming to the game. And
oh, we won 4-0 yeah, then. Okay.
Yeah. You know, she was at the Wolves game last weekend, which I think is taking her record now to 12 wins and one draw. So,
yeah. So I expect her at Lille at home. So especially, give your ticket up. I swear to God, if we lose that first leg or it's close.
If we lose that first leg, she can have my ticket over in France for the away leg.
Well, you've heard it here for I got it messed up backwards, but regardless, you've heard it here first, folks. Actually, you know what, I think you should just give your ticket up for all of time, because we'll go undefeated at Fortress Villa Park for eternity if that's the case.
I mean, I'll be honest, the people that we sit around have expressed that opinion quite forcefully as well on more than one occasion.
they wait for you to come out of the turnstile. They just see that bald head. Boo!
Whenever I go to a game the week after she's been there and we've won, like, it's genuine disappointment and annoyance from people in that crowd.
Even when we win 3-0, but what can you do about some fickle people? But regardless, yeah, it's going to be a bit of a tricky one. I think a lot of Villa fans are expecting a win, and fair enough, of course, especially with it being at home. I don't know. For me, it's just always Brentford. I never know how Villa are going to play against Brentford, and we didn't play particularly well and got away with it the last time out away at home. So we'll have to wait and see. Again, maybe that puts a little bit too much pressure on Villa, but again, we're at the business end of the season and we need to conduct some more business under Unai.
Also, after every defeat we've had in the league, we've bounced back. You know, we've not lost back-to-back games all seasons. I think Brentford at home isn't a terrible fixture to have to bounce back from a defeat.
True. I'm not even going to lie. I completely forgot where we just played Man City and lost. Like the positivity is just running through my veins right now, and I could give two craps about that loss. But you are true. Villa do bounce back incredibly well, and I think we have to expect them to at this point. And You know what? Even if Ollie Watkins is only on the bench and he comes on late, especially after the way that John Duran played against City, especially in parts of that game, I could fully expect him and do fully expect him to score because that goal was very well taken. And I know you said in the group chat as well, Simon, for this podcast, that if he does put his head down going forward, I mean, he has one hell of a future. And I think that's completely justifiable to say so.
He's got all the sort of raw attributes that you'd want in the centre forwards. You know, he's really strong when he wants to be. He does go down quite easily. He's decent in the air. He's fast. He's a decent finisher as well. Like pretty much all the goals he scored for Villa have all been really, really nice goals, and he's had like a number of sort of very good efforts as well, where he's been unlucky. He's just a bit mad, isn't he? Which I think I wouldn't want to take that completely away from him, because I think that is part of his character. You know, his madness is what makes him obsessed with side tackling. Like, I've never seen a striker who loves the side tackle as much as Duran. The weird thing is, he's good at it as well. He generally wins the ball, but he's clearly, I think, does have maybe some people in his camp, I don't think, necessarily have his actual best interests at heart from a footballing career point of view, more so, I think, a financial point of view. And I really hope that that doesn't end up sort of being his journey at Villa or through his career, because as I said in the group chat, if the penny can drop fully, and he just has someone sensible in his corner saying to him, "This manager will improve you. He knows what he's doing. Just go with it." And if he fully commits to it, you could have an outstanding player. Because if you look at the improvement Emery has made in Watkins' game, that's been fantastic. And as I say, if you've got a young player who's got all the abilities, he's got everything you'd want from a centre forwards, you can if he just focuses and lets Emery work his magic, then yeah, I think we could have a really good player on our hands.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to wait and see what happens with the I think he's very, very close to becoming the new Captain Chaos now that Bertrand Traoré is no longer part of this parish. I think he's like the Chaos Kid or something like that. We need a little bit more nuttiness and then he can be upgraded to captain, or if we want to kind of advance it past captain. But again, we'll wait and see. Anyway, Simon, I don't know how long we've been going for, probably like 40 minutes and not 20 minutes, but regardless of that, thank you very much for joining me. Of course, you can find Simon on Twitter slash X, whatever the heck you want to call it these days, at Cy O'Regan. You can find me on there as well at Talk Aston Villa. Tweet the team at HoltCastPod, of course. And if you want to email us for any given reason at any given time, of course, it's HoltCast@gmail.com. We should be back after the Brentford game for hopefully another Villa win. And of course, if you're listening for the first time, for how many times, and you've not subscribed or left a review wherever you are listening to this, leave a review slash rating, subscribe. It's always appreciated and it makes it easier for others to find us. Probably should have done that at the start because I don't know how many people get this far in the podcast, but regardless of that, we'll leave it there. And don't forget, up the Villa.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.